It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
My guest has played so many roles in life, including her more than 40 roles in films such as Spellbound, The Spiral Staircase, Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, and Gunfight at the OK Corral. She's performed on Broadway, and she's made her Las Vegas debut at the Tropicana. Rhonda Fleming is my guest. Rhonda, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ira. It's just wonderful to speak with you. I'm delighted that you called and I have a chance to talk with you a little bit.
I have so much to talk with you about, and we have such limited time, but I think I would like to start, just because it's Las Vegas, with your debut at the Tropicana. What was that like, and how did you end up there?
In 1957, I was invited by Monty Proser, the producer of the show at Tropicana, where Eddie Fisher had opened it, and he wanted me to follow Eddie Fisher in. And it was a great, great opportunity for me to, after all those films, to be able to get up on that stage and perform for hopefully maybe three weeks at least. And it was a great opportunity because I had really wanted to, when I was in the picture business, I wanted to sing all the time. I never had a chance to sing very much because they just didn't make musicals for the time I started. So I did a little singing with Bing and Connecticut Yankee, a little bit with Bob Hope later. I was a brand new, nobody even knew I sang, really. And I was so excited. We were rehearsed for about 3 weeks and had it ready to go. And I was on stage to kind of prepare for the stage part of learning how you come down some stairs and, you know, where the mic's going to be and so forth. And it was absolutely filled with, it was completely filled with people. It was so beautiful to walk out and see all the people, just a lot of celebrities. And it was one of the thrills of my life because just when I thought if I can just, I was so nervous, I thought if I can make it down these stairs, my knees are shaking, and I just get to the microphone, I knew I'd be okay. And then I just started singing, and everybody was just wonderful. I walked back and forth and performed and danced with the boys, and I had just gone off to a standing ovation, really standing ovation. It was so incredible because they were also surprised I even sang. And it was a great show, beautiful costumes, beautiful that Don Loper made. And I went off stage, and he gave me the name of some of the stars and some of the you know, people in the audience. Came back, and I gave this huge invitation to Sophie Tucker. I said, ladies and gentlemen, and then went blank on Sophie Tucker. Could not remember Sophie Tucker. I stood there awestruck, and I went, she was half out of her seat. I turned around, and I knew that people said they coughed, you know, in Vegas, in the Vegas air,
right,
at that time of the year, and I turned around, I whispered, I said, what's her name, what's her name, and they said, Sophie Tucker. I went, turned around, and went, I'm so sorry. I said, oh, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Sophie Tucker, and she stood up, and I was just heartbroken. I went over and sat with her later, and she said, honey, that's happened to me so many times.
Oh,
don't
yes.
worry about it.
Plus, you have the bright lights, the audience. I mean, it's all everything going on at one time.
Oh, it was so much because I'd worked so hard on the show, and I was just trying to remember. You go off, and you're trying to remember things that you're not ready to remember.
Exactly, exactly.
But I had to be Sophie Tucker, really. That's crazy.
That's funny.
She was so sweet. It was incredible.
And
so,
you received very good reviews on the show, too.
Oh, tremendous reviews. I tell you, that was the highlight of my life. I'm so grateful.
Isn't it amazing how Las Vegas has changed over the years, too? Here we are.
It was just a small town then when we went to Tropicana there. It was not that many, you know, theaters. There was a lot of space between them and the hotels. And now, of course, it's horrendously big. And I don't go there very much now, but I loved it actually when it was smaller. It was charming, and the hotel was just the best. And of course, you know, it was kind of run by the mob at that time, so the mob was everywhere, and that was 1957.
Sure, and you were somewhat protected by that.
I sure was, boy. I'll tell you, because I remember my husband tried to come in and be with me, go to my room, and they just wouldn't let him go by to go in. And I said, wait a minute, that's my husband. So they let him in, but it was really a different era altogether. So, of course, the mob is long gone, I guess.
And Eddie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds were there for you at the show.
They were darling. They put a huge, big thing around me. It was like a horseshoe of roses and flowers, and put it around my neck, and they stood there, and each one kissed me on the cheek. They were just precious. What memories and what beautiful photographs I have of it. And the news bureau there was so wonderful in sending me all these photographs. It was just a really beautiful.
The news bureau is celebrating its 65th anniversary this year.
I know it. I just sent them a letter. I just congratulated them, and I'm just very excited about what they've done. It's tremendous.
I know you've done so many things, and I mentioned it in the opening about not only your more than 40 roles in films, but your charity work. You know, you're a philanthropist, and just so much stuff that goes on in your life. But I'd like to start at just at the very beginning for a moment, because Rhonda Fleming, I mean, this may not be too surprising to you, but it is probably to many people. That wasn't your real name, but it became your name.
No, when Henry Wilson, is the agent that discovered me running to Beverly Hills High one day, I was not thinking of the movies. I never thought of being in the movies. I wanted to just sing. I wanted to sing like Deanna Durbin. I really didn't have her voice, but I thought I did. And when he finally became, he met me when I was about 16 years old. He went to see my mother, said, could I represent her when she gets to be of age? And mother said, well, I think so. So he went with David Selznick and became his top man there. And he called me, said, I want you to meet Mr. Selznick. So I went over there, and he met me as Marilyn Lane. Of course, it led me into this film. That's a long story, which we won't have time to tell, but how I get into this role as a nymphomaniac was unbelievable.
Especially with your
I
background.
I didn't know what nymphomaniac meant. Mother and I both looked it up in the dictionary. But he said, you can't use the name Marilyn. That's 2 years before you-know-who came along. Mm-hmm. But Marilyn, I don't want to change my name. And he said, the Lane sisters are under contract to 20th Century Fox. I couldn't use that. So they had to change it, and Henry finally one day came up with a name after going through family names and all. He didn't like anything, and finally he came up with Rhonda. I went, Rhonda? Rhonda what? It was R-O-N-D-A then. He said, Rhonda Fleming. To the day that I saw him at the hospital where he was very close to passing on, I said, do you remember where you got that name? He said, no, I don't. I don't. It just came to me. So Selznick added the H and made it Rhonda Fleming, and it's actually turned out to be a wonderful, blessed name for me. There's lots of Rhondas today. Every time I get a letter from them, I write a letter and say, thank you, you're joining the Rhonda Fleming family. So it's really nice.
I should mention, too, that Rhonda Fleming has her own website, rhondafleming.com, and you hear from people all over the world.
I heard all over the world. I get emails and letters. It's just awesome. I mean, I wouldn't know they were out there if I didn't have a website, and I'm so thrilled to have it, and they can email me directly, and we respond.
Email at rhondafleming.com. I have a question about when you were talking about first being discovered, you were running, because you were late, to Beverly Hills High School, and here's a car following you. Now, today, if that happened, the police would be called, but at that point, you were a little concerned, but here's this guy blocks your way and says, I want to talk to you. Where does your mother live? And you evidently give the address of your mother and you where you lived.
Oh, yeah. And I was just running because there was nobody else around. And I had this long auburn hair blowing in the wind. And I took my shoes off to run faster. I look around. Nobody's there. But this car is coming by and looking at me, this man in the black car. And then he comes around another block. About the third block, he blocked my path. And he just came out and, oh, so help me. dear Lord, I'm telling the truth. He said, young lady, have you ever thought of being in motion pictures? Now, where did that come from, I'll never know. It's like a Cinderella story, absolutely. My whole career is a Cinderella story. And I just said, no, sir, I have not thought of it. I just want to get to school. I'm late. He said, where do you live? And I told him, and he went and talked to my mother. So he was really responsible, Henry. God bless him. He was just incredible because I did Spellbound and Out of the Past and Spiral Staircase and one after another until Mr. Selznick said, I want you to go to Paramount one day and try out for a film with Bing Crosby. And Deanna Durbin, the one I admired so much, was supposed to star in that with him. She went off to France and never came back, so it was open for a newcomer. So out of about 200 girls, Bing wanted me for it, And he was an angel for me in that. So that's one of my favorite films and favorite memories, was working with Bing Crosby. And to star above the title with Bing, because he never wanted to star alone. What a break for this kid who just did some black and white character parts. And just to be thrust into the high level of starring with Bing Crosby in a Connecticut Yankee.
He
was a wonderful man.
He had to be one of the very few stars that would allow his name to be shared in that way.
He was. He never wanted to be up there by himself. And he just worked with me. He protected me. He was just wonderful. Just because I was such a newcomer. I was not trained. I never took acting lessons, because God must have given me a gift, because my mother was a famous actress and model in New York. My grandfather was a very famous actor in Salt Lake City. So there was something, I guess, was instilled in me to be able to play the role of a nymphomaniac. I mean, and then they went back and tried to add more time to the role, because they thought I'd be supported for a nominating award. And it took away from Ingrid Bergman, so they couldn't do it. But it was just amazing that I started that way. Like as I said, it was not real.
And if for people who haven't seen the movie but would like to see the part where you are introduced, which
right
is in the beginning of the movie, you can actually go to YouTube and see it.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I just saw it recently again, so it's there, and people can just go on YouTube and look it up.
They cut the dream sequence out. It kind of cut it down to where it would look like Ingrid and not me. I think I kind of took away from her. I guess the scene was so incredibly, you know, so beautifully designed and all. But Ingrid was the loveliest woman I've ever met in my life. She was an angel. I just saw her several times. I saw her in Germany when she was working there.
You had so many co-stars, too, over the years, and I'm just going to mention a few. Gregory Peck, Robert Mitchum, Kirk Douglas.
Gregory Peck was the first man I ever kissed. I came down in the dream sequence. I'd never met Gregory Peck, really officially did not, and floated over in that dream sequence in a pretty gown that it was just, and I was going around in this big scene of big play cards and big cards and big tables, and I leaned down and I kissed him, and then I went to the next table, and I said, and after it was over, Gregory stood up and said, "It was just wonderful meeting you, Rhonda." And I realized that was the first kiss that I did on camera. So it was kind of fun.
Of all those people that you work with, some of the ones that I mentioned, of course, and there's others, Bob Hope, we mentioned Bing Crosby, Rock Hudson, and of course Ronald Reagan for four films. But
I would say those are the three B's. That's Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, Burt Lancaster, and of course Ronald Reagan were my favorites that I ever worked with. They were wonderful, and I'm so grateful to have worked with these great performers, and of course I worked with many more too. But these particular three B's and an RR, four of them with Ronnie Reagan, never realizing I was kissing the 40th president of the United States, I'll tell you, when we had all those wonderful love scenes.
And you had a chance to see him in the White House when he was president.
We went to the White House, and I thought, I'm getting in line with everybody, and I get up to Nancy, and I gave her a big hug, and then I thought, what am I going to say to him? What am I going to say? Four films all these years later? Who dreamed he was going to be president? I got up to him. All I could think of, one of our films was Tennessee's Partner, and I said, "Hi, Tennessee's Partner," and he just gave me a big hug. He was the sweetest, most wonderful. I wish we had him today. He was a great president.
When you look back at Hollywood, and clearly you were part of the Hollywood studio system, that's what they called it at the time, where people were groomed, watched over, they were certainly traded to other studios as well, but there was a system in place where it made sense for an actor or an actress to prosper, because you weren't an independent contractor in that sense. They watched out for you, they had the infrastructure in place. Did you see any negatives to it, or was that pretty much positive for you?
No, it was like every time I went to, when I left Selznick, because Selznick, he kind of get out of the business, I went to Paramount, and it was like, coming home, because it was just like you were coming home. We had the top people right there in the studio, writers and directors and camera people, and it was just wonderful. You were so protected too. Today there's none of that. Without the studio system, it just is it's all just independence and, you know, money, and the roles are, you know, good actors and performers, but I just don't really enjoy going to some of the theaters today because it's, I don't know, I just, of course, watch, you know, Turner Classics and AMC and other programs that run the films. It's because those old classics are the best. I get so many emails about that, too, that love these, the noir films that I did and the wonderful classic films, and there was such a difference. I don't know whether it was the glamorous time, that's what I guess it was, that it was a more glamorous time. And I think people miss that.
I think they do, too. My guest, Rhonda Fleming, has performed in more than 40 films, including Spellbound, Out of the Past, The Spiral Staircase, Connecticut Yankee, and King Arthur's Court, Gunfight at the OK Corral, and Cry Danger. She has performed on Broadway. She's recorded albums. She's a well-known philanthropist, and she made her Las Vegas debut at the Tropicana. You can find out more about Rhonda Fleming at rhondafleming.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Talk About Las Vegas with Ira in just a moment. Now let's return to Talk About Las Vegas